Welcome back. Junk's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan, the Team 980. 910 The Fan, if you're listening in Richmond, thank you for that. And Monumental Sports Network 2. It's time now to head out to the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. We welcome in Joel Corey, former sports agent. Does analysis for CBS Sports and CBSSports.com. Joel, thanks for joining us, man. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, sure.
Hey, Joel, take us inside the room when you're negotiating with a team. Who do you generally negotiate with? Is it the general manager? Do they have a chief negotiator? How does it work?
Typically, most teams have a team negotiator, and a lot of times the team negotiator will outlast the regime changes.
Right.
In Tennessee, Vin Marino has been there since 2007. They've had multiple head coaches and GMs.
Mm-hmm.
I know they brought someone over, I think, from the league office, which is where a lot of these guys come from through management council around the league. So Adam Peters has more of a scouting background. That hasn't been his domain, at least in San Francisco. That was Prad Maratha, was the head of that, and Brian Hampton. But he may be taking more of a hands-on approach in negotiations than he ever did in the past.
Joel, were you surprised by the Adam Schefter comments yesterday on the Pat McAfee show where he was basically saying that the McLaurin camp, they're looking for higher than what DK Metcalf signed for with the Pittsburgh Steelers? It seems like the Commanders aren't willing to go anywhere near that number. Were you taken aback by where these negotiations seem to have stalled at this point?
No, I understand why Terry would want more than DK Metcalf, but because he's been more productive. It's the same draft class, but he's 2 years older, and Metcalf is 6'4", 235 pounds, and runs really, really fast. That's a whole different type of receiver. So if you look at his upside and the fact that he's younger, I understand why the Commanders don't want to go there either. The part that got me was when Schefter was speculating way more, and I'm like, good luck with that.
Mm-hmm. I agree. The Sutton deal also, although I think Terry's better, you know, it's not like he's light years better. I mean, there's some comps there, and I don't think this deal helps Terry's camp at all.
It doesn't help for the Commanders get closer to Terry's number. Their statistics were nearly identical last year. They're basically the same age. I think Sutton's a month younger.
Yeah.
I forget. No,
he's a month younger.
Yeah, he was born in October. Yeah. Terry is September.
Yeah, Vinny's a month younger. But they're different tier receivers. Don't forget that Courtland Sutton, you can make a case, wasn't the one before they traded Jerry Jeudy. And last year was an outlier for Courtland Sutton, had a 1,000-yard year since 2019. So I put this in the same, almost in the same category as Garrett Wilson was something Terry was going to point to. Now the Commanders can point to this. They'll cancel each other out. This deal would actually be a pay cut because the new money average on Terry's current contract is $23.2 million. That's the base value before you start adding any incentives that he actually earned in escalators.
Mm-hmm.
So I know you're just speculating, Joel, but give us an idea of what you think the Commanders are offering to Terry and what do you think Terry's asking for in terms of numbers?
Well, if Terry's thinking I can reap the benefit of this Jamar Chase escalation, that's never going to happen.
Yeah,
because
right.
He's at $40.25 million. Justin Jefferson's at $35 million per year, number two, although it's a slightly backloaded deal for Chase. Never going to happen. I don't know. The Commanders, they're never getting a deal done if they don't get above T. Higgins, which is $28.75 million per year, because that's the highest paid number two receiver. Terry's a one. T. Higgins may be a one on a whole lot of other teams, but not on the team he plays for. And he signed to top the number two receiver market ahead of Jalen Waddle.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you're probably going to have the first digit as a three.
Right.
To get a deal done.
So you think that Terry's asking for low 30s, and what do you think the Commanders?
I think he's asking for more than DK Metcalf.
So more than 33.
Sure,
Yeah, but that's room to come back.
Looking at the most are AJ Brown and DK Metcalf because there's draft class, although they're younger. I suspect that's where he's looking.
Mm-hmm.
If he's looking way more than that, this is going to be a long negotiation.
Joel, can you give us some background on Buddy Baker, his representative? We know that he's been his agent since he's been in the league. Can you fill us in on some of his other clients? We know that McLaurin is his most high-profile name that he represents. What's his reputation in the agent world?
He doesn't have particularly good or bad reputation in the agent world. He's able to get the last deal done in a timely manner, so that kind of tells you something right there. That we know that he is able to get a deal done when necessary.
Where is the leverage that Terry has? Because from my perspective, it looks like the team's just not going to budge, and they're just going to force him if they're they're so far away that they're not going to meet him halfway. So they're just going to force him to play on this. Terry's probably going to request a trade. They're not going to trade him. Terry's not going to sit out a year because that'd be career suicide. I think, in my opinion, at this stage of his career, I just don't see any reason for the team to budge.
Well, you're trying to build on the momentum of last year of overachieving. I saw a stat where Jaden Daniels and when thrown to receivers averaged like 9 yards per attempt to carry 12.
Yeah, it was markedly better with Terry.
Interception, markedly better with Terry.
Yeah,
you're not getting back to the NFC Championship without him. That's his leverage. Did you do need him to get to where you want to go?
But he's not going to sit out, Joel. He's not going to sit out. Yeah.
Of course not. He's stuck from this standpoint. I know he didn't want the $50,000 per day fine.
Right.
But once you come in, you essentially can't leave. Well, you can, but then you give the team the hammer. They have the right, once you walk out, to send you a 5-day letter, which basically says you have to return within 5 days of receipt of this letter. If you don't, we have the right to put you on the reserve left squad list. And then that's the nuclear option. If they put you on that list, you're done for the year. Hmm. You can't play for anybody else. And your contract tolls, so he'd be repeating the 2025 contract year in 2026. Now, for an important player, let's say Micah Parsons did the same thing, the Cowboys might send him the letter, may delay it. But they certainly would wait before putting someone on the reserve left squad list because that hurts. It's mutually assured destruction.
Mm-hmm.
I would say if Terry's not happy with the offers and it's never going to get any better, he'll play. You might have a disgruntled Terry McLaurin in the locker room, which nobody wants. And then you're looking at a franchise tag, which is going to be slightly over $30 million.
Right.
I know his salary is a lot less, but it's not based on salary. It's more or less based on cap number for a couple of modifications. So the 120% increase would apply essentially to his cap number. So you're going to be right around $30.2 million. Hmm. So he's like, well, if I don't like the offer, you don't give me something I need to think about in his mind, then I'll do that. And would the Commander stick a franchise tag on him for that amount is the question.
Mm-hmm. What is your guess?
Depends on how the year goes.
Right.
If they take a step backwards, probably not. And then he's a year older, and he's got to go out and try to get what he wants in the open market after what probably wouldn't be as good of a year as he had this year if he's a distraction.
What do you think of the chances that they trade him this year? I think it's probably zero.
Zero. Yeah, They're trying to win. He could requesting a trade eventually becomes something out of the agent player playbook, and the team may or may not honor it, and I don't think they're going to honor it.
Right.
If they were going to trade him, if they thought that signability was an issue, they would have done it before the draft and found his long-term replacement, because you can't really get someone unless you make a player-for-player trade that could come in and help you this year, and this team has Super Bowl aspirations.
So knowing everything that you know, and we all kind of seem to know the same sort of publicly reported stuff, where we are in the calendar, the fact that Terry's already now holding in, it's only a matter of time before he starts practicing, what is the likelihood, if your best guess, based on your experience, that they come to some sort of agreement?
Yeah, they will eventually, and it'll probably won't be what Terry wants. It'll be more than Commanders want. Adam Peters comes from a place that is used to acrimonious negotiations up until this year. It seems like everyone who wanted to get paid in San Francisco had a hard time getting paid and eventually did. You're going to be above T. Higgins. I suspect it'll be $30 million or more, maybe not much more than that. If you took McLaren's current deal and adjusted for salary cap inflation, you're basically at $31 million per year.
Mm-hmm. And how many
seems
years?
Seems so easy.
I mean, how many years guaranteed is your best guess?
The first two, what's going to be in 2025 and 2026 will be fully guaranteed. There may be some amount guaranteed in 2027. The question will be, will the 2027 injury guarantee convert to being fully guaranteed in 2027? Mm-hmm. Or will it convert a year early, which is what you want as an agent, next March in 2026?
Joel, what did you think of the Courtland Sutton deal, considering that, you know, where he kind of ranks in terms of receivers in the league, and he got $41 million guaranteed of the 92. He does have 18 touchdowns the last 2 years. Last year obviously helped him a lot because of Bo Nix, but his quarterbacks have sucked over his career for the most part. But what did you think of that deal?
Yeah, well, Terry's have been terrible until last year.
I agree. I totally agree.
I thought, yeah, that looks like a Calvin Ridley, Michael Pittman type deal. So that's how I looked at it.
Right.
All right. Joel, one more question before we go. What did you make of Stephen Jones's comments? Because you touched on Micah Parsons. He's the executive VP of the Cowboys. He said, "We want to pay Micah too. He's got to want to be paid." It's kind of a weird statement to come out of Stephen Jones.
That's one of the most ridiculous things I've ever heard the owner say. It's Dallas being Dallas. Those guys, I think they like to hear themselves. That's why they talk. If you want a blueprint of how not to handle your star players, the Dallas Cowboys have written a playbook.
Yeah.
Wow.
And what's your prediction on Trey Hendrickson in Cincinnati?
He'll eventually cave at some point. Cincinnati is an irrational team in a lot of respects. Remember, they were perfectly content to let Carson Palmer retire years ago until Jason Campbell got hurt, and then they traded him. Hendrickson will eventually probably take their deal with no guaranteed money in the second year. I wouldn't be opposed to that from the standpoint that when they do deals like that, the cash flow is phenomenal. So if you can front load that thing like crazy, as they've done in the past with some guys like Trey Waynes, Vontaze Burfict, and Carlos Dunlap, then there's a way where you could make that work.
Joel, thanks for the time, man. We always appreciate it. It's Joel Corey from CBS Sports, former sports agent, giving some great insight into Terry McLaurin and more. Thanks, man.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you, Joel.
Of course.
All right, buddy.
You can check out his work on CBSSports.com.
He's more optimistic. I mean, he's very matter of fact. He seems like he's not super emotional about it. Obviously, you know, agent has to be level headed. He thinks they're going to come to an agreement.
Right.
I'll be heading to Switzerland and Italy, and I come back on August 8th and then back in studio August 11th.
Yep.
Will this still be a topic on August 11th?
Yes.
I'm going to say they've come to an agreement by the 11th.
Oh, really? You're an optimist.
Because I thought it would be before the date that's in the book.
So the first preseason game is the day I come back.
It's taking longer than I thought. It's been more protracted than I ever thought it would be.
Oh, yeah. I initially thought it was going to be done by like 4th of July.
Yeah, I thought it'd be like, no problem. They'll come to an agreement. You know, these are two opposing sides, obviously, but they'll find a meeting place in the middle. Seems like that middle's been tough for them to
So you approach. Think it happens in the next 2 weeks?
Yeah, I think within 2 weeks.
Something gets done.
Somehow the sides are
gonna move.
You might
be right. I mean, based on what we've heard and how far away, how big the gap is.
Right.
I would say probably after he gets back, but
Joel Corey made it seem easy.
Well, he's done 100 of these deals.
But it's never that easy.
Right. A lot of moving parts.
Oh, you're right.
All right, we'll do EB's entertainment page when we come back here on The Fan. I'm ready for some entertainment. Hence, it's time for EB's entertainment page.
All right, Cakes. That's what I'm here for, buddy.
Mm-hmm.
Entertainment page, of course, driven by BMW. Fairfax, DC's only BMW Center of Excellence Award winner for the ultimate buying experience on your ultimate driving machine. Get over to BMW Fairfax. Ask for Miriam. She's the general manager. She'll set you up with a sales assistant. Of course, you can check out their entire selection of vehicles online at BMWFairfax.com. And when you get there, make sure you mention me. They're going to treat you like a rock star regardless, but they're going to hook you up. You're going to go over there. You're going to get some M&Ms. You're going to get some nice coffee. You're going to get some pretzels. You're going to make yourself some nice snacks. And then you're going to look at the silly vehicle you're going to buy.
Very good.
Yep. All right. I'm just now seeing people are coming to Pedro Pascal's defense.
Okay.
After the backlash against him and Vanessa Kirby and all this handsy behavior. Haven't had a chance to read that yet, but I will I will be reading that. I will say that the Gwyneth Paltrow video, I guess it was kind of a spoof on the, you know, for Astronomer. Did you see that?
No.
Where she acted like she was like the HR person or something, whatever, for Astronomer.
Is she trying to ride Chris Martin's Coldplay tales here?
Yeah. I don't know. Everybody seemed to love that video. And I looked at it and I'm like, okay, I get it. That's Chris Martin's ex. But I didn't find it like
isn't she
funny.
Busy with the goop and selling the $75 candle? It smells yeah. like her silly.
I don't know. Did you like the video? Yeah. Did you like the video? Like, I saw the video and I'm like, my wife's showing it to me. Everyone's sending me the video. And I'm like, yeah, what's the big deal? It's mm-hmm. okay. I mean, it's goofy, but like, it wasn't funny. I kind of understand it.
No more spoofs of the CEO and his old bag girlfriend side piece, okay?
Yeah. Kristen, they weren't come
funny.
On.
They weren't funny the first time, and they're not funny now.
I just didn't understand why everybody thought that was so intriguing.
I don't know. Hmm.
She wasted a day filming that, as far as I'm concerned. they're going into the background of that Kristen Cabot, and now they're trying to act like she's some party girl. Because
Cabot?
I don't know. C-A-B-O-T? Cabot, Cabot.
I'd go with Cabot there, but what do I know?
Cabot? Sure. Sure.
Who's
not going to fight you?
Who was her who's her husband? And who did he work for? Like Andrew Cabot dude or Cabot?
I don't know. It's like, I can't remember.
I like Cabot better.
Some AI company?
I can't remember.
Or maybe she resigned from the AI company, correct?
She had to resign from Astronomer, yeah.
Okay.
She was the HR person or whatever, but now they're trying to say she was some big party girl, and they're basing it all on because she was a member of a sorority. She was a DG back at Gettysburg College. And I'm reading this, and I'm going, this is kind of mean. This is, like, not really that fair. They're just, you know, because she was in a popular sorority, they're trying to portray her as, like, this crazy party girl.
You partied in college?
Yeah, I mean, I actually didn't think it was fair.
So she's a sorority sister with your wife, right?
My wife is a DG. My wife was one of probably the worst DGs, though. She was so busy with school, she didn't do a lot of activities. No. Went to a few events.
A few mixer socials.
We went. I'll never forget. What is the one where they do the gun, the red, the, you know, you shoot people with
paintball?
No, with the laser.
Laser tag.
Laser tag.
You weren't into laser tag? I'm not surprised.
Whatever.
I did laser tag with my kids a few times. It's kind of fun.
Really?
It's kind of fun. The few times I did it.
That wasn't my thing.
I didn't know that D was a Delta Gamma.
Yeah, D was a DG. She was one of the worst.
Those were the fun girls at ASU.
At ASU? It was a popular sorority, I'd say, at Maryland. But she didn't do a lot.
Why do you think that I put that in the EP draft?
Did you know that D was a DG? Yeah.
Travi, my buddy's son's going to ASU next year. It was down to ASU and Pepperdine.
Huh. Oh wow!
Well, these is
Pepperdine.
Hold on.
I was going to say ASU and DeVry.
Hold on, I
knew that was stupid.
Maybe I botched that.
Can't be Pepperdine.
No, I think Pepperdine. Maybe I think he wanted to go to Pepperdine. Maybe he didn't get in.
Pepperdine has the most beautiful campus in the country.
Well, it's right there.
I have visited every campus in the country.
You visited like six
of the campuses. The problem is it's all up on a hill.
ASU and University of Phoenix.
Well, I know, but if you have to go, if you're walking up and down the hills, that wouldn't.
I'm
be
not
great.
Going there. I'm talking about like driving by it, how like picturesque it is.
Yeah, I mean it's right on the ocean.
Yeah,
but anyway,
can't beat it.
He's going to ASU, and his high school girlfriend's going to JMU. I said, that's done, Scoop.
Oh, yeah.
That's going to be tough.
I said, that's done.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's over.
Be very tough.
I probably shouldn't have said that.
Yeah.
You're realist.
Yeah, you know what? I'm glad you did.
That was probably stupid.
I'm glad you did say it.
Yeah.
They know.
They know.
Deep down, they know.
Mm-hmm. They know.
The Sydney Sweeney fascination continues. They've got photos and, I guess, video of her riding around on a jet ski with a mystery man.
Ooh, a mystery man. Who is this mystery man?
I don't know. Some buff dude. of course, the connection to what you do in American Eagle, we talked about yesterday, ads. That company's taking a lot of backlash for it. It's so stupid.
Huge backlash.
Because of jeans. They thought it was some sort of, like, Hitler message.
So dumb.
I mean, that is quite a leap. A bigger leap than the space between the McLaurin camp and the Commanders.
I mean, it's
way
so dumb.
Bigger leap.
So dumb.
Mm-hmm.
That's dumb.
Don't they realize they're talking about her big boobs?
Yeah. I mean, whatever. But it's working out for American Eagle, right?
Oh, sure.
People can complain all they want. It's working out for them. The stock's up. So is she going to come out with her own line of jeans? Is that what it would be? Or
no, I think she's just wearing the
just
American
endorsing
Eagle,
whatever they have.
And her, you know, the bit is she's got good jeans.
Right, because she got nice jugs. So what is the Sophie Cunningham story? You know, Sophie Cunningham, her star, I had no idea who she was prior to this, like, sticking up for Caitlin Clark a few weeks ago. But she's getting a lot of run, and she's wearing a Hot Girls Eat Arby's t-shirt after doing a food review.
A lot of different ways with that messaging. I think she's going the way everybody's thinking.
You know what? It is kind of ridiculous that she looks the way she is and she's in the WNBA.
Just being as hot as she is?
Yeah. I mean, she looks like a freaking supermodel.
Yeah. Pretty girl.
I mean, you won't find anybody hotter in women's sports than Sophie Cunningham.
Really?
That's who's elite. Hotter?
I don't know, but I think that we found a few.
There's
pretty
some,
hot. Like,
maybe some tennis
like
players.
Eastern
that I like.
European tennis player we're unaware
all right,
of.
But she's,
that's a leap.
Livy Dunn.
I like Dunn, Sophie better. Yeah. She's taller.
I don't even think she's. I think there's some mind tricks going on.
Yeah.
What? Is this AI?
I'm with you.
No, sleight of hand. She's wealthy now, and she has a good stylist. If you look at her pictures from, I don't want to be mean, but she's not like a knockout. If you look at her like rookie photos, she just looks kind of
all right.
Like
but
a
her body
tank.
Is absurd. Look at that.
I agree. I saw like a year by year montage, and it was not that flattering of Sophie Cunningham.
Yeah, but okay, maybe she got hot. That's not.
She got better looking.
Yeah, she's got a stylist and money. Glow up.
Okay,
she got better looking.
You can get.
She's not the hottest woman.
She's not. That's
sport.
Crazy.
I mean, come on,
that's a crazy thing.
No, it's not. I think it's accurate.
He does like the tall drinks of water because he's so freaking tall.
Yeah, I know.
What do you think about our hot chicks eat Arby's?
Yeah, well, I think that's a great T-shirt.
Yeah.
The funniest WNBA bit is what happened in the Mystics Mercury game.
Yeah, the wig
over the weekend.
That is funny.
One of the Mercury players had. This is not even a joke. She had her wig knocked off in the middle of a play.
Right.
They stopped the game action so she could scoop up her wig and run off the court back into the locker room.
Right.
I guess a fan that was in attendance, because this game was here. It was the game in Southeast at Care First Arena.
Right.
A fan, I guess, was goofy on the fact that her wig came off. It was heckling her and the security.
They kicked her out. Kicked him out.
I don't even know the fan's sex or gender, but they kicked the fan out.
Wing
what
was funny was she.
In the middle of the
what
game.
Was funny is she just ran immediately.
Just ran, just holding it on
her head, right into the locker room.
I mean, it was just a comical scene. It's pretty funny.
Hmm.
A lot of WNBA in the EP.
I didn't know that you could actually play professional basketball with a wig. Like it's kind of hard to fathom.
She was.
Yeah.
And she was not happy that it got knocked off
right.
in mid-play.
Remember Michael Jordan's mansion in Chicago?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure.
That was on the market for like a decade. Well, eventually he did sell it, okay? In December of last year, he sold it. A huge price drop from before, but still, the guy paid a boatload of money for it. Paid $9.5 million for the 56,000 square foot mansion.
I mean, that's absurd.
Well, now you can check it out. It's on Airbnb. It's across 7.5 acres. The home boasts 7 bedrooms, 17.5 bathrooms, a putting green, a fishing pond full of bass and bluegill,
indoor
movie
pool.
Theater, cigar lounge, 2 300-gallon saltwater aquariums, And you can, if you want, you could rent it for a week, 2 weeks,
120 grand.
100 grand a week.
100K a week. By the way, for a place.
Well, that would be for a company. Company would do that.
For a home that's 56,000 square feet, I believe was the number.
Yeah.
To only have 7 bedrooms seems kind
of
nubby.
Well, they're probably the size of this floor.
It seems just nubs. Like, if you have a 56K square foot house, you should have a minimum of 10 bedrooms. Minimum. Yeah,
but they're probably huge.
I mean, they are probably gigantic. I mean,
come on.
Didn't really take that into
account.
They're huge. So a lot of the square footage is the basketball court.
17 bathrooms. I mean, that's a little square bit.
They footage, say right. He bought the land in 91. It's probably a good investment by this guy. They said he spent around $50 million building it.
Mm-hmm.
$50
million. Jordan or the guy who bought?
Okay. Jordan.
Okay.
And he sold it for what? Nine?
Nine. Mm. Yeah. Huge bath.
I wonder how much his ex-wife gets.
Look at how much Michael Jordan is raking in per year. And he's a billionaire. I don't think he really cares.
Yeah.
I think he's okay.
I was, I don't want to say the neighborhood, but I was telling Jason during the break that I saw some video online of where it was like an AI-generated video, so you have to take it for what it's worth. But they were talking all about Jaden Daniels and his rise from high school to college and here with the in the NFL. And then somehow in the middle of it, they started mentioning the home he bought in Virginia.
Okay.
And, I mean, it's a beautiful, modern home. Mm-hmm. I think it said it had 16-foot-high ceilings.
Okay.
They had a bunch of pictures of it. Looked very, very nice. Jason was disputing where it may be located because he heard a different neighborhood than the neighborhood I said.
I don't want to say the neighborhoods.
Yeah, but I don't want to say it either.
But there's a certain part of where I said he lives where you can be inside the gates or outside the gates.
Yeah.
And the houses outside the gate are a little bit smaller than the ones inside the gate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure he's in that development, but outside the gates.
I don't think it's an enormous home. It only sits on 0.4 acres. Right, so it's on less than half an acre.
It's probably 6,000 square feet, 7,000. I mean,
it's a
he just needs room for him and his mom.
It's just him and his mom, right?
Well, they said the mom often hosts barbecues and stuff in the backyard.
Right.
Looked like they had a beautiful. I mean, it's a beautiful modern
home.
I'm
sure it is.
No doubt about it. Joy Taylor is breaking her silence on claims she's quitting sports media after the Fox Sports firing.
No, please, don't let her quit sports media.
I don't know if there's a huge clamoring for her. I do remember Drabby said that Gilbert Arenas said he's been trying to get her to maybe co-host or whatever at one of his pods. But I guess she's going to announce shortly whatever she's going to do, and it could be sports, could be non-sports, whatever. Because she's got her own podcast, and I think she talked about how she wants to have sex all the time. On it a few months ago.
Okay.
You brought that up recently.
Yeah. True story. I guess they're going to have... Do you have details on the Ozzy funeral?
I have not heard one thing
about
his funeral. They're
going to do some sort of public thing.
Okay. Makes sense. I mean, he's a huge star.
And I don't know what they're going to do about Hulk. What are they doing about Hulk?
I haven't heard about his details either.
You saw Ric Flair, like, crying. Like, he did something on social media or, you know... Where he's crying, he's like, he could be next. No kidding, buddy.
Yeah, I mean, Ric Flair is not young.
And Ric Flair, though, he's not a huge guy, right? He strikes me as like a stocky, shorter guy.
About six feet tall, maybe?
He's 6 feet?
I would guess around 6 foot, 6'1". Yeah.
He looks brutal.
Yes. Well, I mean, he's taking a lot of bumps in the ring. He's led a tough life.
So I think, he's got bad ticker, too, and all that stuff.
He almost died in the hospital.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's got a lot of stuff going on.
He was listed at 6'1", 240.
Oh, I didn't realize. Okay.
Did you watch Bubba's breakdown of Hulk's death? It was kind of interesting. He blamed the whole thing on Hogan's schedule. He blamed it on two things. Getting divorced from his second wife. Mm-hmm. He said he should have never done that. That woman
he said
was
she
like,
was great for him.
She was great for him, salt of the earth, the best thing that ever happened to him. He said, don't know why they got divorced, but they did. And he went downhill after that divorce.
Mm-hmm.
And the second thing was that Hogan was obsessed with promoting his beer and his restaurants and everything, and he was flying nonstop. Mm-hmm. The doctors told him to slow down.
Like Kevin McCarthy back in the day.
Yeah.
Just flying.
I know, I think
he
did mention alcohol.
I saw him mention it. Made it seem like he's like drinking a lot.
Well, he was promoting a beer.
Yeah, if you have your own beer
he has
brand,
his own restaurants and bars. Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure he was.
He strikes me as a guy who probably drank a lot of beer in his day.
Didn't we do the story? Didn't we talk about that like even during his wrestling career that he was just pounding like cases of beers on nights he was wrestling? Like, before he'd even go out and wrestle, he was pounding beers back in the locker room.
Sure.
You know?
Hmm.
But he took his vitamins.
Probably took his vitamins and his steroids. All that stuff. All right, there you go, Cakes. I entertained you, buddy.
You did. You entertained everybody. Yeah. Well done. Yeah. All right, don't forget, coming up at 9:15, we'll be joined on the show by David Sampson from the Nothing Personal with David Sampson podcast. He's a former Marlins exec. He's coming up on the show at 9:15 here on The Junks. All right, I'm a little bit conflicted as to how to feel about this next story I'm going to bring up. Probably don't know this name. Desmond Watson. Do you know who Desmond Watson is, Jason?
I know Deshaun Watson is.
Yeah, I know you know who Deshaun Watson is.
I know Desmond Bain.
Well, you actually brought him up during one of the breaks, JP. Desmond Watson.
Oh, that's right. I already forgot his name.
Is he the big fatty?
Yes.
Undrafted free agent defensive tackle who's in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers training camp.
Desmond, right?
Desmond Watson. He's getting fat shamed by all of like these online aggregators.
He's the kid from Florida, right?
He's a kid from Florida.
I remember seeing him in Florida. Yeah.
He's massive. He's 464 pounds.
On the one hand, I feel bad 20. For him because he's 450. He's listed at 450 right now.
Yeah,
right.
6'6", 450. Okay?
If you want to make the team, you can't show up to training camp at 450 pounds. Right?
Like, yeah,
he's pretty nimble, though. Did you see his workout?
He's an athletic freak. I get all of that.
Yeah,
but who's surrounding him? Who are his handlers? Who's giving him the advice to show up to training camp at 450 pounds, and they won't even let you work out because you need to take laps around the facility to try to lose weight?
It's a good question. I mean, he was at Florida for how many years? Three?
Not sure how many years he played at Florida, but like. Somebody's got to get into that kid's head and say, look, if you want to make this team, maybe you can show up at 380, maybe 400.
He played in the SEC for 4 years at that weight.
Understood. But I don't think he played at 450 pounds.
I think
he was like at 400 maybe.
So he gained 50 pounds from
you put on an additional 50 pounds heading into training camp?
I don't know how they came up with these numbers, but one of these sites put up how fast he would run the 40 if he lost a certain amount of weight based on what he ran. He ran a 5.86
right
in the 40. They said if he was 300 pounds, he'd run a 4.7. If he was a tight end at 255, he'd run a 4.34.
No, that's crazy.
I know. It seems absurd. They said if he was a wide receiver at 210 pounds, he'd run a 3.94.
Like, it's not like he was even like a middle round draft pick. He's an undrafted free agent.
He was undrafted, yeah.
Like, you got to do everything you can to get on the team's good side. Show up in shape.
Well,
I'm sure this
isn't the first offseason where they've told him to lose weight. I'm sure it was.
He's a rookie.
Well, I know, but I'm saying Florida, every other offseason he's had, since junior high school, they've asked him to lose weight.
Does he know what grilled chicken is? Does he know what a salad looks like? And at some point, you got to. If you want to play professional football, you can't tip the scales at 460 pounds.
So he entered the spring camp of 2023 at Florida weighing 450. Later dropped some weight. He appeared in all 12 games during the 23 season. He entered the spring camp in 24 at 464, dropping back to 449 pounds for 2024. He played in all 13 games at 450 pounds.
Didn't put up a ton of stats.
No,
in his 4 years.
He's just a brick wall. He's just a wall.
In his 4 years, he had 44 tackles? Something like that? No, 63 tackles. 63 tackles. Yeah,
I'm not trying to pile on the kid, but his legacy right now, if he makes a team, is just going to be him walking around the training fields while everybody else is practicing. Yeah. It's embarrassing.
Yeah, I just don't know. It's obviously hard for him.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if it was easy.
To his credit, he kept it at 450 for the college years.
It's hard for me to lose 20 pounds. He needs to lose 80 pounds. I understand. I get the struggle, but he's 21 or 22 years old. Like,
he's
only
going
to get tougher as he gets older.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if you're going to lose a bunch of weight and make a team, now's the time to do it.
If he gets cut and doesn't play a day in the NFL, he'll be at 600
pounds. He'll be 1,000 pounds. It's hard to see a bright future for the kid unless he actually needs to make the NFL and he needs the discipline. Mm-hmm. But the problem is, even if he does, when he retires, let's say he plays 10 years, He can go back to being 500 pounds.
They have him walking. He's wearing one of the rucksacks, like the one that Valdez gave me that I don't wear enough. I probably should wear it more, but I mean, not when it's 100 degrees out, I would die.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know how hot it is in Tampa? I saw that Tampa, this shocked me, by the way.
Hit 100 for the first time.
For the first time.
Yeah.
Tampa, I thought it would it'd be 100 degrees there all the time.
Well, they say, because of the water and the wind. It usually doesn't hit that.
I think there were only like three other cities I saw listed that have never hit 100 degrees ever.
Uh-huh.
And they made sense. I think Buffalo, New York was one.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe Anchorage, Alaska was one of the others.
Sure wasn't Vegas.
Well, I can vouch for Vegas. Vegas being was up there. Well over 100.
Well, usually the coastal towns aren't going to hit 100, but
yeah,
I'm sure it's happened. But saying Tampa's never hit 100
until last week.
Okay. Yeah.
Or this week.
Did you see all the, I don't know if you guys watched the weather the last couple of days, but when they did the heat
index. You're my weather.
The heat index charts.
Yeah.
In St. Louis, 116 tomorrow. No, actually, maybe that was today. 116.
What's the heat index here?
Well, today it's going to be like 108 or 109, right?
The heat index?
I think tomorrow it's going to be even worse.
Yes, today's going to be a little bit lower than tomorrow.
Yeah.
But then Thursday it drops, and then Friday, 77. Make sure you play golf on Friday.
I'm playing today, and I'm playing tomorrow.
That's so dope.
You're going to be melting.
Yeah. By the 16th, 17th hole, I feel like it's possible I could die.
How much would I have to pay you to wear an old-school cotton golf shirt that you wore back in, like, 1993?
Not happening. But you know what? Some of these Moisture Wiki shirts, they don't. I mean, it just feels like you're wearing a big, heavy vest anyway.
Yeah.
Those just get soaking wet.
Mm-hmm.
When they're totally soaked,
sure.
I mean, they get heavy.
Yeah,
there's like nothing you can do.
You need to pack an extra shirt, one for each nine.
Yeah, just put like ice, like cloths on your head,
mm-hmm.
soak the water out of your head, and drink 10 waters.
Sure.
And now I just carry liquid IVs in my bag.
I mean, you're prepared. That's good.
How many can you have in one day? Do you think you can have more
liquid IVs? I have no idea.
Is it bad for you? I mean, I know there's sugar in it.
You're the one having them. I don't know anything about the product.
My daughter tells me I shouldn't have more than two. Huh?
I don't know what they are either.
You don't know what liquid IVs are? They're just little things to hydrate you. There's little powder things you put
in.
You dump the powder in the water.
I saw something delicious on the menu board at the Norbeck pool the other day. I almost pulled the trigger. I will the next time. A frozen transfusion.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Oh, you think I'm not going to order one of those? Put it on my tab.
Dude, I still haven't.
12 bucks.
I still haven't had a drink in like 59 days.
That's impressive.
I think I know when I'm going to break it, though.
Oh, you do?
I think I do, yeah, because...
You have a date in mind?
Well, not a date in mind, but I'm pretty sure I'm going to go up, at least if not late August, up into early fall, go up to Long Island. If I'm with those guys.
You're going to hang with the boys.
If I'm going with those guys.
Well, you're going to break your fast with us.
You're going to fall over after one drink.
Yeah. So I probably won't drink that much, but I mean, I have to drink.
I don't know. Guys. You might not.
No, I think I will.
Grab a seat at the Foxy Gator.
And then I also may be going back to Chicago, play a little golf in the fall. I'll definitely drink on that trip.
There you go.
Yeah, whatever. It is nice to wake up and you don't have to wake up and feel like your stomach's bothering you. Mm-hmm.
You're clear-headed.
Yeah.
No haze.
He's still not sleeping great.
I mean, I got up this morning basically around 3:45, just started my
For some reason,
did you still do the tart juice and red light?
You know what? I ran out of my tart juice. But only my red light is... The thing is, I do the red light, but I don't know if I'm really doing anything. I have it on all night, but I don't really look at it. It's just...
I don't know.
It's on my nightstand. I don't really think it does anything because I don't look at it or anything. It's just in my room. And I play Storm... the Spotify Storm stuff.
Storm, yeah.
So I just hear various storms.
This is what you hear.
Yeah, but I crank it up, put it real loud.
Yeah.
So you play the thunder or lightning. I just play the rain. When I do it.
It has like, I don't know, 15 different songs or, you know, like play, you know what I mean? Like 15 different entries. It's like some are louder than others.
I just got the fans rolling, bro.
We got two fans in there.
So much white noise.
Got a lot of it.
White noise is the best.
Well, it also cools it down. So I'm actually cold. My temperature in my bedroom at night is 75. I'm actually cold. Blankets.
That's uncomfortable.
Multiple blankets.
You're
you
cold
wouldn't be. I guarantee you wouldn't.
Degrees?
You would not be cold in my bedroom. You wouldn't.
Your 75 is cooler than my 75? Because 75 to me is hot.
Yeah, but do you have fans
too
on?
Too hot.
You?
No.
Yeah.
Air conditioner.
That's the difference. If you have two fans blowing air on you, you're not going to be hot.
Yeah, but isn't it just circulating the same...
Same stagnant air?
The same temp?
I mean, I don't know how that works. It's fans cool you.
Do you bring the fans to hotels? You don't do that at hotels, right?
I bring a small one, yeah.
Gotta. He's pack smart.
But sometimes if I forget it, I'll just bring a noisemaker. Yep. But I usually bring a small oscillating fan.
All right, coming up on the show, David Sampson, former Marlins exec. He's going to join us coming up at 9:15 here on The Junks.